Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Still to come in about 30 minutes from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Our Friday regular, April Marie Fogle, joins us. My former colleague at Yellowhammer News, Dylan Smith, joins us. And we'll wrap it all up with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's coming up throughout the program, so make sure you stick around. As always, text line is the best way to get in touch with yours truly, 251-343-0106. Join us in studio, what we call the Fairhope Bureau, a work in progress, that is Jennifer Fiddler. She is running for House District 94. She's challenging incumbent Joe Faust, but it's on the ballot, and we want to get her in and kind of get to know her a little bit. Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
How are you doing? I'm doing great.
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Let's kick it off here. You are running for Alabama's House Representative seat. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to dive into the world of politics.
Okay. Well, I'm grew up right here, right down the road, in Silver Hill. I'm a Robert Stowe High School graduate, actually. My mom and I, you know, on the Bishop side, we actually go back to the 1880s in the district in Barmel and in Fairhope. On my dad's side, we're back here to the 1930s. He was part of the Bohemian migration in the 1930s that came to Silver Hill and Robertsdale. And so when I say that, I want you to make sure you know that I'm from here. I love the land. I love this area. I grew up on a farm, and my heart and my passion is with the farmers that are out there trying to save some of our agricultural lands for agriculture. And that's what I would love to do, to work on. One of the things I would, because I've been going door to door. And one of the issues that I'm hearing people say, well, one, they're concerned about our national issues. But the second, and it's right up there at the top, where we are locally, is our growth. And if we have the infrastructure to actually take care of the growth that we're experiencing. And it's everybody that I've actually talked to that is their number one concern. So I grew up here. I went on to Auburn University, started the horticulture program in Eufaula, Alabama at age 22. At age 30, I came back here and was the public works director for the city of Fairhope. Right. I served with the city of Fairhope for 16 years. 10 of those years, I was on the planning commission. So I have 25 plus years of public service, and I'm, of course, a political newcomer, which is one of the reasons why I put on the flyer I put and on my door hangers is when I tell people that I'm actually a political newcomer, they looked at me and said, "You got my vote," because people want term limits.
Well, tell me this, House District 94, people may not realize, there's a lot of agriculture in this House district here. People think of it as Fairhope, and it is, but it just continues to grow and grow and grow. But there is farmland beyond the city limits for as far as the eye can see in some places.
Well, House District 94 is the top of the district is Rock Creek. It zips around, comes down the four lane, and comes across the triangle, as we all know, the triangle there that the city has got, and comes across Sea Cliff. Then it rolls back down to Point Clear, Marlowe, Fish River, Barmel, Magnolia Springs, all the way down to Highway 12. So 65 and 55 is your eastern borders. So from the east back to our waters, that is our district. District 94. And yes, there's a lot of farmland in there. But there's, you know, of course, we've got all our urban areas too. Magnolia Springs is growing. Fairhope, of course, is a huge part of our population. And people want a handle on all the growth. I told you I was walking the subdivisions and talking to people. Interestingly, if a subdivision has been in Baldwin County less than about 9 years, there's only 5% of the population that's from Baldwin County. The people that are moving here are from Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, you know, just everywhere. Most of them are coming here because they're trying to get away from the politics, and they're wanting to come to a more conservative area that's pretty and that's nice and a good place to live. So our fabric of our community is changing.
And you got a bunch of new people here, and you're getting to know them. So that, I mean, an election cycle like this, that may work to your advantage, you would think, because people upset about national issues probably going to show up at the polls, and then having walked to neighborhoods and, you know, pounded the pavement, if you will, they now can put a name with the face.
Well, the only way that I've heard that if you're actually going to be successful in a race with an incumbent is to go door to door. And so, you know, thankfully my opponent has, you know, had me do that, because I've gotten to get out there and listen to what the people are saying. And to your credit, if they're listening to talk radio, they're listening to 106.5 and to you and to Sean Sullivan and to, you know, you guys.
You're very, very kind to say that, but man, I ate Rock Creek all the way down to Weeks Bay. That's a lot of, how many pairs of shoes have you worn out here in this cycle?
Well, I've got two that are rotated in and out. So I'm okay on the shoes. It's just 6,000 doors that we've been putting door hangers on so far.
That's still significant.
significant.
That's no small feat, ladies and gentlemen. let's get into kind of you see yourself as a representative in Montgomery. What else do you see? I guess there are local bills, of course, that the legislature deals with from time to time, but where do you see you fitting in? Is it agriculture and what else?
Well, the issues that people are worried about nationally, of course, one of them is critical race theory,
right?
Which in my whole heart of hearts, and the people don't understand, number one, what critical race theory is. So you got to define it as you talk about it. But to me, the whole issue is causing divide, and it's racist, and it's a very form of separation that we tried. We already dealt with that issue. We've way past time to move on.
Education comes up, and that's one of the biggest thing the state spends money on if you look at the budgets. So a lot of people would say, since Republicans took control of 2011, the results haven't been there. So, you know, what do you think? Where do we need to start in Montgomery to try to get some of these public schools, these K-12 public schools, on further up the rankings?
Well, you know, the legislature just passed the Numeracy Act. A lot of folks locally are not too happy about that. They feel like that's just a push into Common Core. So the negatives that I've heard about that would be, and I've read that bill. When I read it, I actually had to reach out to Senator Elliott on it. But it's 53 pages. And if you hadn't read it, it's puts a lot of, standards on our teachers. And you got just listen to the teachers, because if you go and talk to them, they're leaving. They're not staying. These younger teachers aren't staying in the school system. It's hard to find substitute teachers, but that's what we're having. Teach our children substitutes, which is fine because I'm sure they do a great job, but we need our younger people to stay in, those young people to stay in it. And when all we're doing is paperwork throughout the day and not making sure we're focusing on our children, we've just lost sight.
Yeah, if it's substitute teachers kind of running the show, I mean, there's questions about stability and whatnot, right? That, you know, new teachers, that becomes an issue. It may not be necessarily a Baldwin County thing. I don't know, but is it? I guess.
Well, we have a lot of substitute teachers right here in Baldwin County, and the main reason, you know, we're growing so fast.
It's the growth, and it's like the reason we haven't made the full. My wife and I split time between here and Tallahassee. She practices law in Tallahassee. She could practice law in anywhere she wants, but the problem is we have a little one, a one-year-old, and daycare. We're like on a two-year waiting list for daycare. So it's like these growing pains that really challenge the local infrastructure in this part of the state that's growing so fast. And like I said, education becomes such a big part of what the state does. You got to have something to address that, I would assume.
Yeah, we do. I think I've realized that, again, as I've walked door to door, when you've got 95% of the people that are living here are not from here, and it's happened just here in the last 9 years, think about how much of a strain that has put on our employee base, because those employees have moved and spread out through other areas, and they've gone and found jobs that are more lucrative just because they've got a skill set, and they may not have quite what they need on the skill set, but they can find something else that's a little bit more lucrative. So our base, restaurants, small businesses, they've had to pay more money for employees, and everybody out there listening that are there, y'all are running up and down the roads usually because you're working. You understand what I'm talking about. Your employees, you're paying your employees a lot more money for an hourly wage just to be competitive with everyone else. What does that happen? That cost is passed on to our consumer, making this area another higher priced place to be able to live, work, and play. It just puts a strain on the lower socioeconomic folks all the way across the board.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's just that it's a spiral, if you will. Eventually, you got to get something to grapple with. Let's talk about some other issues that are going to confront the legislature this next quadrennium. Gambling, do you have a take on that?
Well, I just said growth is not what we need in Baldwin County right now, because everyone is concerned about it. Let's take a breath and see how we can manage this a little bit smarter, make sure we have balanced growth. Gambling casinos would encourage growth. Not only that, I mean, there's a large percentage, or, you know, probably the majority of the population in the great state of Alabama that's not actually for casino gambling. You know, lotto is something more there could be in line with, but I'm, you know, not sure about that either. But there is more positive comments on lotto only, rather than, you know, not so much on casinos. And the people that I've heard say positive things about the casinos are not actually from here. They've moved here.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's such a complex issue. If you try to do one without doing the other, then you just don't. It's the 3/5 majority threshold to get to a constitutional amendment, and that tends to be the conundrum. So I don't know if that continues to be the status quo. We're probably going to be talking about this, for the immediate future, at least, if not the long-term future.
Yeah, well, you know, I was living here when we actually voted it down. Were you?
Yeah, I was in Auburn at the time.
You were? Sorry, I remember that.
99, yeah.
Yeah, so how many years ago was that? 22?
23, yeah. It was like late in the year, though, I remember. And on the ballot at Auburn, and this tells you what a degenerate I was at Auburn University. Sunday alcohol sales was also on the ballot, and I went and voted for that. So when I was there, you couldn't buy beer or liquor. All the bars were closed on Sundays, and that was the big vote at the time on Sundays to open that up. And that's why I, like I said, degenerate Jeff Poore went to go vote, voted for the lottery too. But I remember it very clearly, and I thought when Don Siegelman won that cycle a year earlier, it was foregone conclusion, right? They just did it wrong completely. But anyway, that's I'm rambling too much. We talked about education. We talked about a lottery and gambling infrastructure. That's the million-dollar question. Bridge, even beyond the bridge, 181 and the local infrastructure, sewer, water, et cetera. Room for improvement there, I would assume.
Oh, we absolutely have room for improvement. You know, just I live on the end of Fairhope Avenue. It's a 7-mile stretch from the bay to the area where I grew up. And thankfully, I load on the end of Fairhope Avenue, because by the time you hit Highway 33 or Thompson Hall Road or, Lawrence Road. These guys, you guys know what I'm talking about out there. You can't get out. I mean, maybe even small roundabouts, if the county can consider something like that, through those areas and those intersections, where people can actually get out in a timely manner. But we are, it's inundated. I feel like we've got let out. Well, back when we had 4th of July at the pier and before the fountain and all this, the traffic we're experiencing today is like a, when everybody left after the 4th of July, the fireworks.
Yeah.
It's just car after car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need to do something about that. We need to breathe. What about our sewer? You know, our sewer, you know, it goes back over here to the waste treatment plant, and we've upgraded that, and the city's done a great job doing that. But, you know, you outlying people, folks out there on the edge and the fringes of the city limits, you guys are still pumping your sewer all the way back down here to Section Street. Right here at the, you know, the city complex.
Right.
And it's, that needs to be, you know, that's a long haul, so to speak. And they're working on that. The city's working on that. And they've done a fine job looking into it. We still have septic overflow. I mean, they're still working
still
on
it. Still happens sometimes. Well, let's get a break in here. We'll pick it back up on the other side. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.